Welcome to Let's Talk. You're here with your host, Dr. Batts, and I'm in the studio with Venice Gibbs. Venice is the executive director and founder for a nonprofit called the Foundation for Restorative Living. Venice, it is a pleasure to have you here with us. You were referred to me by somebody who's dear to me, who he's hard to impress. And I don't know how you guys met, but Positive Kyle was impressed with you and said you had to come on this show. That's the first time that's happened. He said you had to come on this show. So I didn't interview. I don't know you, but you came highly recommended. Welcome to Let's Talk.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I actually don't know Kyle personally. I've been following him on Facebook for years, but I reached out to him because I know that he's very popular in the city and he knows a lot about nonprofits. He's organized his own as well as work with Promise Neighborhoods. So in me finding out, trying to get more information, I decided, let me reach out to him on my own to find out more information so I don't make some of the mistakes that you make as a new founder, a leader. I'm very introverted by nature. I'm learning to be extroverted. So doing something like this is new to me. But
yeah, we need you doing more of these things.
Yes.
it's interesting, right? This always surprises people. They say I'm a forced extrovert. So I'm really, really, really introverted. I can walk through the woods alone all day long. But to do the work that we are committed to doing, it requires being in relationship with people. And I appreciate that you reached out, right? That's the first step.
Yes.
And a lot of people will bump into walls rather than to seek support, mentorship, guidance, to ask questions. So I think it says a lot about you.
Thank you.
Let's back up. Tell us about Venice. I know that's a big question, right? Because our listeners don't know you, they haven't met you, they don't know about your nonprofit. How did you get to where you are today?
All right, so I'll start by saying I'm a mother. I have three beautiful boys and a beautiful daughter, and I'm also raising a daughter. So I have five children in my house.
You have a basketball team.
Yeah, so you have a blended family.
That's right.
I come from a blended family.
Okay,
so,
that's beautiful.
I have my parents. I was raised with both parents in the home.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to my family, my parents getting married, having me and my younger sister, my mom had a daughter. My father was married and had two children.
Okay.
So, I have three older than me, one younger than me. And I always had that protective role.
That's right.
Shout
out to blended families, the beauty of them, right? I have a blended family also.
It is beautiful. But in my family, I had a lot of love, a strong faith base. I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
So I never was baptized, but my parents were. But in that, I was born in the 80s. I don't know if I mentioned that, born in 87. So
that's a different world.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a very different world. I miss those times.
Now, which generation does that make you?
I don't know if that makes me a Gen X or a millennial.
Okay, but you're 80s, 90s baby.
80s, 90s baby.
Best music was in the 90s.
Yes, for sure. And I love music. My father actually is a musician, guitarist.
Does he agree that the best music was in the 90s?
Probably not.
Yeah, because I'm thinking he's probably 50, right?
Yeah. Well, he's in his 60s.
Yeah, he's not going to agree. Yeah. He's not going to think Ja Rule was great.
No, he's 69. So, but I was raised on the good music, 70s, 80s music.
Okay, okay.
My name, actually, my father named me. My name's Venice. Mm-hmm. It comes from a singer in the 70s named Venice Thomas. I don't know her if she was a one-hit, two-hit wonder.
You've never listened to a Venice Thomas song?
I pulled it up when I found out my name was from her, but... So although I had all those great things growing up in my family, there was also a lot of dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, my parents were victims of substance abuse.
Mm-hmm.
My father was a functioning crack addict. My mom used to drink. It was the 80s.
I'm telling you, the 80s was the crack epidemic hit hard.
My parents also were do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-hmm.
So they never wanted us to follow along and do the things that they did.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also hard because as a nature person, your nature and your environment is what raises you as well.
That's
people
right.
can tell you different things, but what you see them do is kind of what you gravitate towards pick up. But because I knew that I didn't want to raise my children to be that way, one day if I had children, those are the different things that I recognize as, okay, I definitely don't want to do drugs. I definitely don't want to drink to the point of getting drunk. I don't want my children to, be exposed to different things.
So we either learn what to do or what not to do by observing people. And that's what you're speaking to. You learned what not to do.
What not to do.
Yeah.
But it also is a choice. And this is what kind of brings me to where I am today. Every day I make a choice to not do those things because inherently it's in me.
Mm.
addictive natures.
Okay.
My thing, I could even say, is food. Mm-hmm. I'm overweight. I find food as a way to escape, as a way to everything. To if I'm happy, I'm eating. If mm-hmm. I'm sad, I'm eating. If I'm mad, I might eat. So that's been my escape, which is also unhealthy. But it's not something that's talked about a lot even looked at as a drug or as anything, but it can be detrimental.
So where'd you learn that? How'd you recognize that?
Therapy.
Okay. Okay. Therapy. Shout out to therapy, right?
Definitely.
Well, listen, we believe in therapy.
I love therapy.
There goes the title for the show, I Love Therapy.
It's ironic because...
That's your book. That's a book.
It's ironic because my parents don't believe in therapy. To mm-hmm. this day, they have yet to go to a therapist, and I really wish... I mean, time is of the essence, so it's not over. But mm-hmm. in my lifetime, if they were to seek therapy and see how much it changes you and changes, you know, your past is your past, but your future is unwritten.
Mm.
So you never know until you take those steps what can come of it.
That's right. That's right. So tell us about where you're from. I mean, we've talked about your family of origin, right? You grew up with both parents in a home. Beautiful home, not perfect, mm-hmm. right? We say on the show, perfectly imperfect, because that's it, right? Like we say we have some bruises, some scars, but if we were surrounded with love, we can keep moving forward.
Yes.
So let's talk about your community.
So I was born in Trenton, New Jersey.
Okay.
And then I moved to Marsville, PA, which is right across the bridge in Trenton, if people okay. are from that area or know about it. I went to a really good school.
Okay.
My dad worked at the time, Nestle is the corporation, mm-hmm. chocolate company or whatever. So my dad worked there. They relocated from where they were, I guess, in New Jersey to Allentown, PA. And that was in probably 94. So I was about 7 years old when we moved again. Now we're moving away from family, away from all that mm-hmm. we've known. And when we first moved, we went back and forth to New Jersey a lot. Just to be around what we were familiar with.
Trenton's only like 90 minutes, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so about an hour and a half. But for the people that don't come here, it seems like a million miles away.
That's right, that's right.
You know, we don't necessarily get visitors from the other side of the family.
You live
they
in
don't
a country
come.
Somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, so they don't really come here. Whenever we wanted to see them, we
so
would have to
So what did that
go.
Feel like? I mean, you left for what was normal. You left that family, that connection. How'd that feel at 7 years old?
It felt like a fresh start at the time
because
we didn't know what I didn't know at the time what we were getting into.
So you were optimistic.
Optimistic.
That's
and
great.
I've always been an optimistic person.
Great.
So and moving away from everything, it kind of also wasn't good at times.
Okay.
Because my dad, being that he moved here before we did, he already found the drug scene.
Mm.
So by the time we moved here, that's when the thick of it really began with him doing, you know, what he was doing.
We say that there are two Allentowns.
Okay.
Two Allentowns, two New Yorks, two Phillies, probably two Trentons, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like he found the wrong side of Allentown.
He found the wrong side, but he was functioning. So he always worked,
work.
Always provided, mm-hmm. always did what he needed to do as a father
mm-hmm.
and as a husband. It was just for this addiction
That's right.
that, you know, he struggled through. So we had that going on, but I adapted quickly, made friends. I always had my sister, my younger sister.
Okay.
My other siblings were older, so they were out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
She's younger than me, but she also is stronger than me in a lot of ways
okay.
because she's not as quiet, not as reserved. So a lot of times I would look to her to kind of lead in a way.
So you're leading now. You have a nonprofit that you started,
mm-hmm.
which is not easy.
No, it's not.
I've led many nonprofits, and people find it interesting when I say I've never started one.
Okay.
Many people think that I've started them because I've revitalized them, I've led them, you know, I've helped people, many people start them, but that's not necessarily a task that I want to take on. Let's talk about that. What motivated you to start it? What's the mission? What's your dream?
Okay, so the mission is reentry, to help those that have been incarcerated come out into the community.
Okay.
And come out and be able to thrive and be able to be successful. Because a lot of times when someone's in jail, they come home, they're thrown back into their environment.
That's right.
They don't have a good job, they mm-hmm. don't have good resources, or they don't have the tools. Sometimes it's the mindset.
Okay.
Their mind isn't ready to mm-hmm. be focused and find the work, and the opportunities may not be there.
So now I know why Kyle connected us.
Yeah.
Because we've never talked about the why, right?
Okay.
That's just a level of trust I have in him. But that is my passion, is reentry. So what is the reason? Why is it important to you? Why is reentry important to you?
It's important because I myself almost ruined my life.
Okay.
I was in my 30s. I'm, like I said, I'm always quiet and reserved. But inside of quiet and reserved people, they take a lot on.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you break. So what I found, I was dealing with my children's father, who was very narcissistic, unfortunately. And when you're dealing with a narcissistic man, you become a pawn in their game. The kids become a pawn. Everybody's up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
So it was dealing with a situation with that. The anger got the best of me. I got arrested. The person lied on me. I could have lost everything. But because I was never in trouble before, I was always a good citizen.
Yeah.
I was able to kind of get out of jail free card. I was able to walk away, no record. And that was very important to me because I work at a pharmaceutical company.
Okay.
I've been there half my life. I've been there 19 years.
Wow.
So I could have lost everything,
that's
my
right.
children,
that's right.
everything.
Over one decision.
Over
or
one
or
bad
series
choice.
Of poor, poor mm-hmm. decisions. Yeah. I'll say I'm glad that you're here with us. I'm glad that impacted your life but didn't stunt or stain it.
Yes.
You know, that's and I appreciate the work that you're doing. I mean, as you know, I have an organization, Prison Survivor Network, where we work towards the same thing, right? I believe that mass incarceration is a human rights issue of our time.
Yes.
Because it's impacted so many people. So let's talk about how you want to bring about these changes around. What's the name of your organization?
So the name of it is Foundation for Restorative Living.
Foundation for Restorative Living. I like that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I put a lot of thought into not only the name, but even the logo. It represents healing, hope after a storm. So I put a lot of thought into it because it's important to me. I'm passionate about for not only people who are victims, but also ones who have done the victimizing. Everybody
mm-hmm.
deserves a fair chance because we're all one choice away from being in the same position.
You don't hear people say that often. We're one choice away. It's easy to watch TV, read the paper, hear someone's story and judge them.
Mm-hmm.
But what you just said is powerful. We're all one choice away. You know, that's
right.
Thank you for stating that explicitly for our listeners to hear.
Yeah. And I look at it that way because that is my life. But I've also dealt with family members or I've had family members who have been incarcerated,
mm-hmm.
friends who have been incarcerated and they come out, you're hopeful for them, but then they end up going right back.
That cycle, right?
It's a cycle.
Yeah.
And I'm raising men, I'm raising boys.
Mm.
And I have my fiance now who's also helping me. He's a strong leader and mm-hmm. you'll get to meet him. But it means a lot to me because
you said that. That's probably the most powerful statement you said. You said, I'm raising men. And you said it with your chest. Like, I'm raising men.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stop there because that means something to you.
Yes.
The way that you said it. Let's take a minute and let's talk about that.
Okay. Because I've had strong men in my life. I talk about my father. I've talked a lot about his weaknesses, but he was a very strong man, too.
Mm-hmm.
His work ethic, his pride. He's a good role model, although he's had mistakes. So it's important to me to show that even though a person has mistakes and they have downfalls, that's not all of who they are.
That's right.
You know, there's two sides to every coin.
That's right.
But I want to raise my children in a community where all of the men in their lives can be role models
mm-hmm.
in a positive way, especially because they don't have that with their father, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
at least
mm-hmm.
right now.
So you recognize that your boys need role models from other men.
Yes. And when I look around in my community, there are a lot out there. That's why I'm trying to meet guys like you
mm-hmm.
and Kyle and your network, but there's also a lot of poison in our community too.
That's right. We want to create a community where mistakes are forgiven and allowed to be made.
Yes.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Let's Talk. This is Dr. Batts. I'm here in the studio with Venice Gibbs, a wonderful woman with a big dream, big passion. We'll learn more about it. Beautiful past.
Thank you.
You come from a great family, and you're creating a great family.
Yes, thank you.
What more can we ask for, right? We'll be back shortly.
Are you saying out with the old, in with the new when it comes to your old car? WDIY's Vehicle Donation Program will turn your ride into your favorite programs on Lehigh Valley Public Radio. The towing is free, all the paperwork is taken care of, and your gift is tax deductible. For more information, call 610-694-8100 extension 4. Or visit WDIY.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Let's Talk. This is Dr. Hassan Batts in the studio with Venice Gibbs. Venice, your story is remarkable. Right. You talk about, we talked about your family of origin. We talked about the family that you're creating some. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about what's next.
Okay.
Yeah. We talked about your nonprofit, what you're doing, a little bit about your dreams and your hopes, you know, the care you have for folks that are prison survivors. What's next? Where are you going? What can we expect from you?
So what's next is I hope that the nonprofit continues to grow. It's very in the very beginning stages right now. Okay. So
what does that mean? How long have you been incorporated?
It's literally only been a month.
A month? And you're already on Let's Talk talking about it.
Yes,
listen,
it's been a month.
Some people are going to hear this and get pissed. They've been waiting years. But you reached out. That's how we started. You picked up the phone and you asked for help.
And
it's going to open doors for you. I can assure you that.
I got to the point where I realized I'm only one person. But so much I can do on my own.
That's right.
So I got incorporated. I'm 501c3 approved. Mm-hmm. So now it's to the point I need donations. I need to apply for grants. And, you know, I know there's people out here who've already done this work. So why not connect with them and find out, you know, if there's a way they could help me, there's a way I could help them.
Each one teach one.
Each one teach one.
Yeah. We have all kinds of sayings like that. We say each one teach one. We say lifting while we climb. We say we are each other's medicine. But all of it, essentially, what you did is reaching out. Yo soy porque nosotros somos. We say I am.
Oh, you speak other languages. Because we are.
Yeah. Little un poquito español.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sí, muy bien.
There you go. But so growing the nonprofit, that's next.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I actually reached out yesterday to the Lehigh Coalition Reentry. There's a reentry coalition. Mm-hmm. And I spoke with Laura over there. She was a phenomenal woman. Mm-hmm. She wants to actually help me as well.
Nice.
I've talked to the DA of Lehigh County. He's on board with helping. So it's just a matter of getting the attention out there, getting the name out there.
That's right.
And really marketing it in that way. But we actually have an incarcerated individual that's coming home tomorrow.
And wonderful.
And we plan to work with him, help him get back on his feet, get a job. He's only 20 years old. He's been locked up since he was 18. He's actually a friend of mine's son.
He's upstate or in the feds?
No, he's here local.
He's in the county for 2 years. Okay. Yep. So who are you going to be working with primarily? Is your work going to be in Lehigh County, in Lehigh Valley, in the state of Pennsylvania,
it's
national?
It's going to be local, Lehigh Valley for now, because this is the area that's near and dear to me.
What is it about the valley that you love?
I think part of it is because I've never really left the Lehigh Valley. I've traveled to other areas, but nothing really feels like home. Even when I go to Trenton, it doesn't feel like home
to me.
Home. This is home.
And what does home feel like? What is it about?
The people. Although we say we don't have culture, we do have culture here, I feel like.
Okay.
You know, I feel like we could use a little more soul food, to be honest.
But, a couple new ones have opened
there's
up.
There's some new.
That's what they say.
I've tried some halal restaurants.
Lots of halal restaurants.
Winston's Jamaican restaurant.
Winston's has been here like 40 years, man.
Right. So that feels like home. Like when people come and visit, I take them to all my favorite spots and, you know, just...
What is your message to the Valley? Because there are people here that don't appreciate and recognize what they have. What's your message to them?
You can always go somewhere, but you never know what experience you'll have when you get there. It may not feel like home to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I've also seen a lot of people move and come back because they went to different states or different cities and they came back because they just didn't feel that connection. Mm-hmm. They didn't feel home.
Mm-hmm. I've moved to the Valley 3 times as an adult. So I said, this must be home. I keep coming back.
See?
That means I left, came back, left, right. Like, so I keep coming back here. Something draws me to it. You know, what kind of valley do you want to create?
I want to kind of create the kind of valley where it's peaceful. Everybody is happy. I mean, we're going to have down times. We're going to have death. We're going to have all the things that we know happens in life.
Mm-hmm.
But we have neighbors that we can look to that are going to help us. They're going to help our children.
Mm.
We're not scared of each other. There's a lot of Latin here in our community. There's, you know, Blacks, there's Africans. It's kind of like a melting pot when you think about New York City. We have that right here. And there's no reason why we can't all get along and take care of each other.
How do we get there? How do we get to that? Because that's a big, bold, beautiful vision that you have. How do we get to that?
By taking steps like these. I created this nonprofit to have compassion for others because I myself didn't have a felony or whatever. I can still have compassion for someone else who does and maybe understand them.
Mm-hmm. So it's caring for someone that's in a position that you may not even have been in or understand, but you know the humanity that
right.
it is. What is your message to the person that's incarcerated and coming home?
To not give up. to have faith and to know that because you made, it could have been one bad choice, could have been a series of choices, but because you made those decisions, your life isn't over. You have time, because we all have time. Mm-hmm. So every day starts a new chapter. And if you look at it that way, I feel like you won't beat yourself up.
Blaming and shaming.
Right. You won't be so hard on yourself.
That's right. We need you to be the spokesperson. I mean, what's your message to, I'm going to say, because I know two of the barriers, I'm a prison survivor.
Okay.
Right. So I know what it feels like to come home and you know, most of the people, my friends and family are. What are you going to say to the people, the landlords and the employers? Because those are two of the barriers that you hit immediately, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's the internal environmental stuff, right? Hanging with the right crowd, the social pressures, but the financial stuff and the rejection for jobs and houses. What do you say to the decision makers?
So to the decision makers, that to give somebody a chance, we've all had somebody give us a chance one day, because we wouldn't be in the position that we are without that. So what I would say, if I were in that position, to just give someone an opportunity, because we never know where that person's going to go. If we just shun everybody away, that like just like yourself, you're a prison survivor who now has a show and other nonprofit organizations. Had someone not given you that chance, I wouldn't be here today talking to you.
We talk about the ripples, right?
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of work around ripple, it's called ripple effect mapping. We talk about the ripples, or as my buddy Ron Dendis always says, the but for. Before you met Kyle, you wouldn't have met me. Before you met me, you wouldn't have came on the show, before this show. So you're right. Give somebody a chance, and it can ripple out to changing the community and essentially changing the world.
Changing the world, yeah.
Let me ask you this question. What means the world to you? That's that Cameron song that I like to ask you. What means the world to you?
What means the world to me, for one, is life itself. Because I look at life as a precious gift. At times, I didn't always do that. I have a mental health background or a mental illness background myself. I've learned through my own struggles. And like I said, I love therapy.
That's right.
So I've learned through therapy.
To love life.
And to love yourself. To be kind to yourself.
You say that like it's easy, though. I mean, loving yourself is... It should be easy.
It should be.
But with social media, with the pressures, with all the external noise, right? Like telling you you're not enough. How do we push past that?
For me, it's faith.
Okay.
Not everyone I know has faith or has the same faith. But if you do have a higher power, you'll know that he didn't make any mistakes. He gave us a life for a reason, find our purpose. It's not easy. I'm 38 years old and I'm just now finding my purpose. I was taught to get a job and stay there, and that's what I did.
19 years.
I've been there 19 years, but I know my purpose is higher than working there. I'm grateful for the opportunity.
That's right.
But I know that my calling is there's more for me to do, and I can't sit and be quiet anymore. I have to get it out.
The world needs your voice.
Yes.
What do you want to say to our listeners? We're running down on time, so what do you want the world to know?
I want the world to have more compassion for people. A lot of people even might know me and think, oh, well, this girl is always quiet. And what a lot of people didn't know, what I didn't even talk about earlier, is that I was molested as a child for years from my half-brother. I called him my brother because I didn't believe in half and step or whatever. But we had the same father, different mother. He was 8 years older than me. And from the age of 3 to about 12, I was molested. A lot of people don't even know that that happened, but
it's heavy.
It is heavy. It caused a lot of confusion in me because I didn't understand what was happening. I knew it wasn't right, but I loved my brother at the same time. And I understood, I felt like, well, he's supposed to protect me. You know, why is he doing this? And 2 years later, my brother had cancer. He had childhood cancer that went into remission. But 2 years later, after that last incident, I was 14 years old. He actually died.
Wow.
So it left me with those questions. I have nobody to ask those questions to. I write a lot of poetry, but it causes a lot of pain. So that also, therapy has helped me to release that as well. But it also allowed me, I think, to have that heart for others.
It sounds like that's where a lot of your compassion comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Balancing, being angry, I'm assuming, but at the same time, loving someone deeply.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, that's deep. What made you choose to share that now?
Because I want people to have more grace. I used to get made fun of a lot for thick glasses or because I wasn't black enough or different things. But I think if people would have known that story, they probably would have had more grace with me. I was struggling.
That's right.
I was struggling. And I still struggle because those things are an everyday thing that you have to work on. And I feel like that's why I have so much passion for people who are in jail or who are dealing with mental health institutions or different things. Because when they're in there struggling, somebody might not have someone to just tell them it's okay, that they love them, that they care about them, that things that they went through wasn't their fault.
That's deep. That's powerful what you're saying, right? You want the world to understand that the little girl walking past them or sitting on the bus is going through something or maybe going through something. Or the coworker in the cubicle next to them or the person driving the Uber, right? Like could be going through something. And when you say to be compassionate and to have grace, it's like, yeah, he's running a little late, but you don't know what held him up.
You don't know. And if you have that grace, somebody might have it with you when you're going through something that's unexplainable or, you know, that may not be understood by somebody
else. Or sometimes we don't have the words to even say it, what we're going through. And then you lead me to what's even harder is we have to have grace for ourselves.
That's the part I had to learn. Therapy.
That's not easy. Lots of therapy. Yes. Lots of therapy to teach you that.
Yeah.
And so what is your message to someone that's just hard on themselves, that's shaming and blaming, kicking themselves, punching and beating themselves up? Talk about that.
I would say to find an outlet. For me, it was music. Okay. It was also writing. Like I said, I've always liked to write since I was a child. Talking to somebody that you love, that you trust. And if you still struggle, I mean, pray about it.
So faith and therapy.
Yes.
And then you talk a lot about community and family, relationships. We always say healing occurs in authentic relationships and within community. And that's what I hear you saying, essentially.
So then I can be a product of that and say that it's true.
We can't do this alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't do this alone. All right, what are you reading?
I'm actually listening to a lot of music. and I'm reading everything to learn about nonprofits.
Okay.
Yes.
You said you listen to a lot of music. Tell us about what you're listening to. And your favorite artist. Favorite rap artist.
Favorite rap artist.
Yeah, I have some facilitated
privilege.
I would
say J. Cole.
A lot of people are saying that.
Yeah, J. Cole.
Love yours.
Yeah.
J. Cole. Shout out to J.
Prior
Cole.
Prior to J. Cole, it probably would have been Nas. Which I still love Nas, but J. Cole's more of our time, I think, right now.
So. Okay, Nas doesn't believe that.
No.
Nas just said it. He thinks he's still relevant. So.
He is. No, we can't take that from Nas. He's always going to be relevant.
Shout out to Nas. Shout out to the old heads, the 50-year-old rappers, right? But J. Cole, a lot of people loving J. Cole. Okay, what else are you listening to?
I listen to a lot of R&B, a lot of 90s and 2000s R&B, to be honest. This new music isn't. I love it because I love music, but it's not my lane. Like, my lane is still Brandy, Monica, Whitney Houston.
There you go.
It's Jodeci. It's R&B.
I believe the children are the future. Treat them well and help them lead the way. So, in closing, what do you have for us? You got about 20 seconds.
I'm just grateful for the opportunity. I really am. I'm glad to be getting out of my shell. I'm not the quiet, shy girl that's just sitting over there. Like, I have a voice. I have a lot to say. I've been through a lot. I love hard. And I want to change the community. I want to be the change that I want to see.
Mic drop.
Yes.
Venice, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing so much of yourself with our listeners. Thank you for trusting me with your story. And thank you for all that you're doing for our community and for the world.
Absolutely.
You're listening to Let's Talk. This is Dr. Batts with Venice Gibbs, learning about loving ourselves, loving others, and being the change that we want to see in the world. Peace.